to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
All right, Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live from the Right Side Studios, local, state, national. Man, we're covering down on the stuff, all the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Big day here at the Right Side Studio, by the way. Hour two of the show today. Coming up here in a little while, we're going to have the doors open, open house. You might see, if you're watching the live stream of the video, you might see people walking around in the background through the window. What did Bobby call the window, the look into the monkey cage? Is that what he called it? I'm not sure I appreciate that, but
no, not at all.
I don't think I resemble that remark, but anyway, nonetheless. Open house here at the Right Side Studios today. So I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. I love it when I get to unpack to this level of detail. Filling the vacuum. Aristotle said that nature abhors a vacuum. When we see a lack of leadership, when we see a abrupt change in policy or the fall of a government, nature abhors a vacuum. And by the natural order of events, when there is a vacuum, a vacancy, if you will, something is going to fill it. And too often when that is done poorly, it results in chaos, it results in bad decision-making, it results in tragedy to the innocents who stand around. All right, here's the next one. I already talked about Afghanistan. I talked about ISIS forming in Iraq. I talked about ISIS resurging now as difficulties are hitting in both Iraq and Syria. Here's another one. February of this year, Libya slides deeper into chaos as Parliament picks a new government. Okay. All right, first of all, Benghazi ain't going away. That needs to be said periodically. If you've seen the movie 13 Hours, Benghazi ain't going away. So 2011, dictator Muammar Gaddafi, who I have no love for, by the way, dictator Muammar Gaddafi is overthrown and savagely, executed, basically, by his people. He had been a dictator for so many years. The man was just, he was weird. But anyway, Muammar Gaddafi gone. Complete power vacuum. Woof. The United States did nothing to try and sort of help ease the next level, all right? Really, Hillary Clinton, a failure of her Secretary of Statedom, if you will. That being said, 1 year later, September 11th, 2012, the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, resulting in the losses of multiple lives, including deputy chief of mission to Libya. These many years later, that's 10 years later now, we're looking still at the troubles that Libya is going through. New York Times reported in February of this year, the current Prime Minister Abdul Hamid Dibiba rejected Parliament's decision, raising concerns that the oil-rich African nation was returning to a divide with two rival governments. Two governments. How do you have two governments? Well, you don't. What you have is chaos. It says Libya, and well, there's the word. Libya hurtled deeper into political chaos on Thursday, this is February of this year, when its parliament, voted to install a new interim government over the objections of the current prime minister. So Parliament saying, we don't want you anymore, we're getting a new one. That sounds like a coup. So one refused to leave, and the other one is now saying he's in charge. And so a Libyan analyst from the International Crisis Group says, we're going to see a feud over who is the legal government, and we're going to have institutional chaos for a period of time. It's a scenario, the article says from the New York Times, that many Libyans, as well as Western countries that supported their electoral process, have dreaded. Instead of holding elections, which Western governments and the UN insist is the only way to stabilize Libya, the country is now at risk of plunging back into war with dueling governments. That's not good. The power vacuum, there's the words. Next page. The power vacuum has also prompted skirmishes between some of Libya's many militias, a number of which nominally answer to the Dibiba government, but each of which has its own agenda. It's also made way for a resurgence of Islamic State activity, ISIS, which had dropped off over the past year after a decade in which the terrorist group had taken advantage of the post-al-Qaddafi chaos. So, folks, I'm just telling you, Libya, watch it. Power vacuum. All right, so I've talked about these, and those sound like faraway extreme examples, right? Those sound like things that, hey, you know, it's bad for us, but it's not here. That's not going to impact my ability to buy goods and services in the United States. That's not going to impact my ability to have a job. That's not going to impact my ability to afford to put gas in my car, is it? Is it? Well, what happens, though, when others are looking at the United States and saying, we see a potential power vacuum? Story from the Washington Examiner, dated October of 2020, just prior to the November 2020 elections. Washington Examiner posted then before the date of the election. It said allies, that's our allies, fear bad actors will take advantage of a power vacuum during the election chaos. You think? American adversaries, Washington Examiner, by the way, October 2020. American adversaries and rogue nations around the world sense a power vacuum in the United States in the final days of the 2020 presidential elections that raises the risk of foreign policy crises, allied sources fear. This is a Baltic official, unnamed, but a Baltic official said, in our region, we feel that America doesn't have time, wish, or resources, or political will to devote attention. We also feel some kind of a vacuum. We feel the absence of America from our region. This absence has negative connotations. And it says the proliferation of that sentiment has left allies feeling more vulnerable to threats from Russia and China. And so take a look at this. Greek lawmaker says Turkish President Recep Erdogan is becoming more prone to risk-taking. He feels more emboldened the closer we get to the elections. In his mind, he sees a power vacuum in Washington that he wants to exploit. Sound familiar? Russian President Vladimir Putin feels a similar sense of freedom, the article says. This is before the November 2020 elections. I'm telling you, folks, the world was looking at where we were headed and the way things were going, and they were saying, this does not bode well. It says on the next page, the same article, the risk of a crisis could increase if the results of the presidential election are disputed or unknown, the allies worry. Okay. China's saber-rattling around Taiwan has even raised the specter of a confrontation between the mainland communist regime and the government in Taipei. Sound familiar? What are we watching right now on the news? So allies around the world were concerned about whether we were sensing the onset of a power vacuum in the United States. How prescient was that prediction? Because what happened is this. By the way, this is not a dialogue here or a diatribe about election integrity and the way the 2020s went, but let's just do this for a moment. Because of the way it went down, it created problems. Because of the way it resulted, and because of the fact that Joe Biden was allowed to take office, we are now in a place where we're still experiencing the results of a complete power vacuum. What we saw was a transition of power that did not bode well for the United States. What we saw was something our allies were watching from afar and going, we see a power vacuum brewing. What we got was someone who went from an administration being able to handle conflict and negotiate business and take care of best interests of the United States to now what we're looking at is an administration that came in and literally collapsed those parameters such that it created a power vacuum within our own country. Now, you may say, well, I didn't lose my job. How's life going right now? Are we seeing things a little differently? Do you think you're better off right now than you were 4 years ago or 2 years ago? And the answer, I would dare say for most, is no. I got a caller, Boomer. Let me just do that. I'll jump over real quick. Let's take that call before the break, Boomer. I'm going to go ahead and do that right now. Yeah, oh, it's Sparky. Yeah, Sparky from Harvest. Hey, Sparky, how you doing today, man?
Hey, Phil, I'll keep it brief. I know you got a break. Hey, I'm enjoying the topic. I enjoy the perspective of what you're describing, but I would highlight, especially for everybody, China right this moment. I think this phony baloney trip where they sent Nancy Pelosi, one of the least qualified persons in the world, to go on a diplomatic journey is all staged to create some sort of situation with China that's going to result in us losing civil liberties, freedoms, or maybe even our own self-governance. There's something crooked going on with this trip, and I think it's all phony. I think it's all staged. The minute I heard they were sending that particular person on this journey, I said, there's something rotten. I smell something rotten in Denmark here.
Well, there usually is when you have actors like Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden heading up the tabloid moment. But yeah, Sparky, I don't disagree at all. And I think though too, the other thing, Sparky, is I think that what we're looking at is China also feels emboldened because they recognize they're dealing with a sheep and not a sheepdog in the White House. What do you think?
Well, absolutely, because with Donald Trump, the self-absorbed hot dog that he is, people actually knew that he loved his country and that America came first. So when they were dealing with him, they're dealing with a very tough individual. Joe Biden's been in China's pocket for many, many, many years. So,
yeah.
Again, it's not even a mistrust thing. I know for certain there's something crooked going on. When you send somebody who, in my opinion, is that demonstrably a compromised person, if only by virtue of her addictions, on a mission. She is she's a show pony for something really rotten that's about to happen, and I'm scared of it.
Well, Sparky, good call, man. You're spot on. I do believe you're probably right, and we'll talk about it more here in a minute. Boomer, go ahead and take us to a break, bro. All right, listen, we're going to take this break right now. Come back and wrap up this section, the power vacuum. I'll see if I can get through it all. If not, I'll just keep unpacking it because what I'm heading into now is the results of having a power vacuum from Trump to Biden right here in our own country. What are the things that happen when a power vacuum occurs in a geopolitical sense? Economy. Social structure changes. Threats to national security. Sound familiar? We'll be right back. Stay tuned. All right, we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right, syndicated all the way from Clanton to the Tennessee line, from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. We're just covering some ground, man, rocking the airwaves, Right Side Radio. All right, so here's the deal. I am finishing up number one of the Triple Dipper, been slowly unpacking what I'm calling filling the vacuum. Filling the vacuum, and by that, for those who are just tuning in, filling the vacuum, what I'm talking about is Aristotle said nature abhors a vacuum. If nature abhors a vacuum, the thought there is, by its very nature, things will get filled if an absence is felt, all right? Something's going to fill the gap. And it's not just in the realm of nature, it's also in the realm of politics and geopolitics, society as a whole, culture. If there's a breakdown in good order, if there's a breakdown in good policy, if there's a breakdown in good leadership, then you're going to wind up seeing something fill it, and it's not going to wind up being good, generally speaking, unless you have someone strong to step in and say, whoa, 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 here's a better way. All right, so again, the story from 1819 News quotes Congressman Mike Rogers, story dated August 2nd here, written by my friend Jeff Poor. During a Fox News Channel appearance, apparently Representative Mike Rogers was on with Trey Gowdy talking about the National Defense Authorization Act and said that within that we have a pivot. And he points to the fact that what we're seeing right now is more than ever, China is exploiting opportunities within our own supply chain. How things been going for you in terms of getting things at the store? It's funny how we didn't see that during the Trump administration, did we? How are things going for you if you've ordered a new car? My son and daughter-in-law ordered a new vehicle, and it was on order for so long, I can't even begin to tell you. Why? Computer chips from China. How about that? How about the supply chain being jacked up, and yet all throughout our supply chain, we're finding that the Chinese government has been allowed, over time, not just in the Biden administration, and I acknowledge that, but over time has been allowed to become a key stakeholder in various aspects of our supply chain. Right down to, by the way, do you know who the world's largest manufacturer of shipping containers is? China. Do you know who manufactures the majority of the cranes used to offload ships at ports? China. Do you know where the majority of our microchips come from? Taiwan and China. Do you know where we get the large majority of the internal components required to make batteries for the electric vehicles the Biden administration has determined that we're going to wind up having everybody drive? China. Anyway, what I'm saying is this. In the absence of a Trump administration that held China accountable, China has felt emboldened, and one of the things we're seeing is the impact on our own supply chain. Congressman Rogers, in this article from 1819 News, said the biggest threat is we still haven't gotten China out of our supply chain, and that has got to be changed, he said. I agree. Totally agree. What else have we got in the same realm? Well, how about this? I love the fact that our U.S. delegation is speaking up so much. Here's another story from TheBlaze.com. TheBlaze.com, Senators Cotton from Arkansas and Tuberville from Alabama, introduce a bill to prevent Chinese communists from buying American land. This is not saying, you know, you can't come over here and buy your, you know, vacation home. What we're looking at here is they're buying up huge swaths of land. This is when you have a power vacuum in national security. This is when your eye is not on the ball anymore because you're too busy focused on things like, I don't know, gender identity. So August 2nd, Senators Tom Cotton and Senator Tommy Tuberville introduced a bill with the aim of preventing members of the Chinese Communist Party from purchasing any land in the United States. The bill, called Securing America's Land from Foreign Interference, comes months after a similar bill was introduced in Congress by Representative Dan Newhouse. That was to prevent the purchase of agricultural land. Cotton's and Tuberville's bill is in part a response to a report issued by the U.S. Department of Agriculture indicating that foreign persons held an interest in nearly 37 million acres of U.S. agricultural land. Biggest investor? China. Chinese entities have acquired immense swaths of American soil and are poised to continue doing so. Millions of acres in U.S. farmland, it says, are expected to change hands in the next decade. Whereas in 2010, China had invested in 13,000 acres of U.S. land, by the end of 2020, the number had risen to 194,000, leaving China with a total of, let's see, what do we have here? They have now amassed upwards of 352,000 acres of American land. Says Tuberville emphasized the strategic importance of keeping the Chinese Communist Party out. He says, we cannot continue giving our top adversary a foot in the door. Well, when you've got a power vacuum in which you're concerned that there's actually an administration who may be co-opted by China, what happens? China exploits the opportunity. I mean, do you think that China's going to wait around to see if Trump comes back in office? No. That's why you're seeing a ramping up of the issues right now. It's called a vacuum. There's a vacuum in serious leadership. I'm going to wrap this thing up eventually, Boomer. I know we got a break right now. But the bottom line is this. I got two more. We're going to talk about it briefly before I wrap this thing. So coming up in the next section, I'm going to finish up number one of the Triple Dipper. And by golly, when's the last time I had an hour on one dipper, Boomer? I'm just saying.
It's been a while, I think.
It's been a while.
But it's good.
I'm enjoying it. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Taking my time with the dipper. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, with an audience full of right side ruffians. Man, I got the best audience in the world. Hey, listen, you guys want to call in? Bunch of ruffians out there. I know you got thoughts and opinions on this. I'm in the power vacuum piece of the filling the vacuum is what I call it. Number one of the Triple Dipper. You want to call in? 833-68-RIGHT. That's the right side toll-free number. 833-68-RIGHT. That's 833-687-4448. Love to hear your thoughts and opinions. power vacuum. Are we seeing a power vacuum right now in the United States? Did we go from Trump to Biden? Did that create what we see, you know, in, to some degree, what we see in other places around the world? When you saw the fall of the government in Afghanistan that created the rise again of the Taliban, and that the Al-Qaeda leader, Ayman al-Zawahiri, felt comfortable coming to live there in Kabul with his family. Power vacuum. When you see ISIS rise up in Iraq because of the way the Obama-Biden administration jerked everybody out and created a power vacuum, and suddenly we had a so-called caliphate of ISIS marching across that part of the continent. Do we see things happening in the United States that concern you? When we see things like political unrest in Libya, still to this day, 11 years after the fall of Gaddafi, power vacuum. They got two governments trying to operate side by side over there, not working out real well. Concerns about civil war. Power vacuum. What are we seeing in the United States? When we went from Trump to Biden, well, I just told you a moment ago, one of the things that I believe that we're seeing is the fact that China has felt emboldened. China is very emboldened right now. And one of the threats that we have from China is the fact that China is not only emboldened, but their being emboldened is increasing the chokehold they have on certain places in our society. Now, I believe that, by the way, several administrations should have gotten a better grip on it, but I do know this. When Trump was in office, he was putting the thumb on China, and they were feeling it. But now what we got is our own Congressman Mike Rogers saying that China's continued presence in our supply chain is a big, big deal. Not only that, Senator Tuberville, in conjunction with Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas, are introducing a bill right now to prevent the Communist Party from continuing to buy up farmland. Oh, by the way, one of those huge tracts of land was in North Dakota, right near, I believe it's called Grand Forks Air Force Base, where we conduct top secret drone operations. So what I'm saying is this. In the absence of strong leadership in central government doing what it's supposed to do, not all of the extenuating things that big government can overreach into, but when it does what it's supposed to do, like provide for the national security, secure the borders, you know, provide for basic essential services, quality of life. When it doesn't do that, when it doesn't provide those kind of policies or that sense of confidence or that leadership in the crisis, what happens? Well, Aristotle says nature abhors a vacuum, and that's where we are. Finishing that thought here, a couple more pieces of this. Right here in the United States, are we seeing a power vacuum? Well, Washington Examiner from August 3rd of this year. That would be what? Yesterday. That would be yesterday. Think of your calendar, Phil. Okay. How about the economic sides of the power vacuum? What are we seeing there? A story from the Washington Examiner titled Voters. It's Biden's recession. He drove the economy into the ground. So we literally have a latest Rasmussen report saying 62% of Americans now believe the economy is in recession, including nearly half of all Democrats, and they're rejecting Biden's attempts to try and blame it on Putin's war in Ukraine or his effort to redefine what a recession is. And a majority of likely voters believe that former President Donald Trump gave us a surging economy, and the Democrat President Joe Biden promptly drove it into the ground. Power vacuum. In the absence of good policy, in the absence of sound leadership or orderly transition from one administration to another, what are we seeing? Power vacuum, and we're experiencing the economic malaise and the economic downfall, really, in some circles, that results from that same vacuum. Last one I've got. So power vacuum can occur in a security issue. Power vacuum can occur in a supply chain issue. Power vacuum can occur in an economic issue. Power vacuum can also occur in a cultural issue. On an extreme note, and I'm not trying to compare Joe Biden to the Taliban, but on an extreme note, when the Taliban took control, the social order abruptly changed. Immediately, the idea of women having autonomy, of women being allowed to be free in society, it all shifted again. And I'm telling you, we're seeing right now some of those same social disorders occurring because we have an administration that abruptly took office in a time of upheaval and then ramped up the upheaval. DailyWire.com, storyline dated yesterday. Religious liberty group warns that Biden rule would force trans surgeries and abortions, and they're fighting it in court. This is just one example. I could pull up any number of abortion, education, you know, any number of social issues that are attacks on religion and freedom of religion. Yeah. The nonprofit Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty is sounding the alarm on a newly revised Biden rule that the group says would compel healthcare professionals to perform transgender surgeries and abortions against their medical judgment and religious conscience under the threat of severe financial penalties. So yeah, this nonprofit group, the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, they're facing off right now against the Biden administration today at the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Beckett, representing a Catholic healthcare network and a group of almost 19,000 healthcare professionals, is asking the court to uphold recent decisions that have been fending off that Biden rule. Can you imagine? The Trump administration, when we first saw him take office, put a stop to just basic things like transgender bathrooms. The Biden administration has come in, and now they're issuing executive orders that may be interpreted to require that medical professionals have to perform things like trans surgeries and abortions against their personal faith and conscience. Now, tell me when that was happening before the during the Trump administration. It wasn't. It's one more example of what occurs in the power vacuum that we experienced when a strong and orderly conservative leader, and by the way, I know that Trump is not always the ultra-conservative. He has fiscal policies that I didn't necessarily always agree with. Is he better than Biden? Lord, yes. But my point in saying this is we saw an abrupt change in an election that caused upheaval because of the way it was conducted. And all of that occurred in a moment and leaving a vacuum in which a feckless leader who does not understand how to lead came in and abruptly began doing away with policies. What was his first order of business? Doing away with policies. Literally writing executive orders. If it had Trump's name on it, he changed it. It didn't matter what happened. Look at our southern border, which is going to be next on the Triple Dipper. What happened? Power vacuum, cataclysmic change. Inflation 9.1%. 40-year highs. Gas prices doubling at the pump of what they were when Biden took office. Just the cost of bacon is a 17% increase since last year. We're looking at things like property sales. Rates are climbing. The economy that we had, the energy sector, the energy independence that we experienced before. All of these things have occurred in the absence of strong leaders. I am going to go ahead and just declare that what we have seen is the result of a power vacuum. And Aristotle said it, nature abhors a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. And therefore, if there is a space to be filled, it will get filled. All right, folks, listen, I'm going to wrap that one up. That was, Lord, Boomer, how long did I go? Hour and 15 minutes on one dipper, man. I dipped it. Dipped it out. Big dip. All right, so let's do this. Boomer, it's a little earlier than usual, but I tell you what, let's do. Let's go ahead and take the break right now. Folks, if you want to call in, I would love your thoughts on this. Maybe I'm talking in a vacuum. But what are your thoughts? What do you think? Did we experience a power vacuum here in the United States because of the transition from Trump to Biden? Tell me, 833-68-RIGHT. That's the phone number. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.